Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, a little hot here. Big boss man, and that's what we're going to be talking about, the big boss man. We all have a boss man, and sometimes he's good and sometimes he's bad, but he's still the big boss man. And the big boss man today is going to be the state, Department of Agriculture and the state of Hawaii. And one second. A little hot on the microphone there. But anyway, some interesting things going on, folks. As I get older and grayer, I'm learning that no one is immune to neglect. No one. I don't care who you are, what your stature is in life financially, or if you're famous or whatever, you still, the system can grind you and deny you the right to clean air, clean water, decent living. And even if you try to, you will still get it. So we've been talking about the dairy on Kauai for some while now at Mahaulepu, and the issues and the promises and the concerns that the people there on the Kauai have regarding dairy and the production and the unintended production, the productivity of dairies, the stench, the smell, the flies, the contamination, the adherence of lack thereof to federal and state laws as it relates to the environment and what have you. And so the people at Kauai, Friends of Mahaulepu, Ms. Bridget Hammerquist and Ms. Eileen Kishloan and Mr. J. Kishloan and other members and supporters, they've raised the issue there at Kauai quite often. And you've heard them on the show here, seen them on TV. And they sometimes, quite often, they get dismissed. They're just trying to make noise and don't want it in their backyard. Well, I was privileged to join them on a trip to Big Island at Ocala. And folks, it ain't pretty. All the things that Ms. Hammerquist and her organization, the Friends of Mahaulepu, warn about occurring or the potential for it to occur at the dairy on Kauai is actually playing out on the island of Big Island. There are reports of illnesses, E. coli in the air, in the water, in the soil, people can't eat. But we're going to talk a whole lot about that this morning, and I have Ms. Hammerquist on the phone now on the line with us. She's going to join us shortly. And hoping we'll hear from some of the folks at Ocala and those that are impacted and family members and some that can share with us. And we'll play a bit of in this intermittent discussion. There was a meeting, a community meeting there, and we were able to record it, and we're producing a video of that, and we'll play excerpts from that, and being that the dairy is owned by Big Island Dairy, LLC, Stephen Derek Whitesides, and some reports that Mr. Riley Smith, and though Mr. Riley Smith was present at the community meeting the other night, he didn't avail himself to the community to make any comments. So having said all that, and just pausing for a minute, I want to say hello to my little friends over there in North Carolina, Malik Nelms, who's always listening to the Carol Cox Show, I understand. And so keep listening, and hopefully we can turn you into a good environmentalist, caring for other folks and the animals around you and the environment. So be good. Anyway, later on in the show, we'll play. We're going to try to do it for 2 hours. And I mean, the things that have revealed themselves. And I think it's best to let Ms. Hammerquist share with you from the start, because I have a temper sometimes. And let me tell you, I'm at the boiling level, because our government should be better. And government representatives should do better. And we don't dictate to government, but at least the government should represent all of us. And when there's problems, fix them, but not to cover them up. Good morning, Ms. Hammerquist. How are you?
I'm good, Carol. How are you? I'm here on Kauai, and it's a beautiful day. Thank you for having us on your show.
Yeah, well, we have to. This, from the things that have presented themselves and revealed themselves, I think I would be derelicting my duty as a citizen to not have you on. So, if you would, just share with the public, listeners out there, your background, who you are, and then we can just take it away from there. I'm incensed in a sense to what I'm learning each day. I pick up the documents that we recovered and the photographs, and it's troublesome.
It's a big problem, Carol. It was pretty amazing. I mean, it blew our socks off, even though we always wear slippers. I was born in Hawaii and grew up here, actually loving agriculture. Had my own garden as a young person. I sold vegetables in a village. I grew up on the Hamakua coast of the Big Island, living in towns there, or communities, I should say, Pauilo, Pauhau, Okala, Honoka. They're all places where my parents and our family of five children lived. I went off to college after graduating from high school in Hilo, and I practiced nursing for a number of years. I was a nurse, and then I went back to law school after about 11 years of nursing, and became an attorney and worked in medical negligence litigation for about 25 years, at the end of which I actually served as a agreed-upon arbitrator and also as a judge on civil court cases before I finally retired. And when I retired, I told my husband I wanted to go home. I always came back to Hawaii every year. My parents are buried here. And my dad's last plantation brought him to Kauai. He was assigned to a community at Olokele Sugar, Kamakani, is the name of the town on Kauai. And I actually sort of finished growing up at Kamakani, because my family moved here actually before I graduated. But I stayed on just to finish school over there with a friend, and then would come back over here. And then I came here always through college. So this was home. This became home, even though I love the Big Island. My parents fell in love with, and I think, you know, as people get older, they don't like to move anymore. So they kind of settled here on Kauai, and it's certainly a beautiful place. But it was really revealing. I mean, I remember sitting at my computer one day and getting this email on our website at friendsofmaholepu.org. And our webmaster sent me the email, and she said, there's some people on Hawaii that are kind of reaching out to you guys. You might want to respond. And I did. And they said, we found you. We see what you're doing on Kauai, and we want you to know you need to fight really hard, because you don't want what we have. You do not want what we have. And they put that all in capital letters, bold print. So needless to say, I got back to them and I said, well, thank you for reaching out to us, but where are you from? And they said, oh, Okala. I said, oh my gosh, I live in Okala. I was there with my family from second grade to fifth grade. And they said, well, you wouldn't want to be here now. And I said, why? What's going on? And he said, well, there's this big dairy. It's about a mile or so away from us, but oh my gosh, we can't live in our homes. We can't eat in our homes. At times, the stench is so bad. Our clothes in our closets get filled with that foul odor. We have to wash them before we wear them. Nobody should have to live like this. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear. And this one gentleman said, you know, we're having a community meeting in March. Do you think you might come and you could see what we're going through and maybe that information will help you on Kauai? And I said, oh, you bet. We would like to come. We would like to see firsthand. We've been reading, Carol. We've been studying. We've been telling the officials, look, this is what's being reported all over the United States. It's a huge problem in New Zealand. Water, fresh water is being degraded. Quality of air, the insects, the flies, the biting flies, people getting impetigo. You know, we've been reading about it. But now we had a chance to see it firsthand. And so we went and we called you because you've been such an environmental inspiration for all of us, teaching us how to do this, teaching us where to go, what to do. And we asked you to accompany us, and that's what took us to Ocala for their community meeting March 14th,
mm-hmm.
this past week. And it was, boy, it was an eye-opener, wasn't it?
Oh, I'm still recovering from listening to the people confirm, speak with certainty that this thing is already upon them, and they're warning you, your community, to fight. And when
yeah.
you see what it is that they're warning you about, you have no doubt the dumping. I don't know if it's intentional or unintentional, but we'll get into that. And the state confirming that manure is flowing into the streams and contaminating, and confirming the observations and complaints of the people, the residents there.
Yes, yes, it confirmed that the large concentrated animal feed operation, that particular dairy, started with 600 cows. They're now up to 1,200 milking cows. And for 3 years, the people have been complaining. And the state has been inspecting. And I think the most impactful thing for me, Carol, just out of the box, is that the State Department of Health documented and saw the manure flowing through their town, in their stream, in their ditches, and took pictures of it and left and made a report that that's happening. And this is a regulatory body. There's an enforcement division of the Clean Water Branch. There's the Clean Air Branch. Clean Air Branch didn't even bother to go. And one of the biggest complaints there is that at night, the odor, whether it's from the manure dryer, they're cooking manure at night, whether it's from the wind blowing down from the mountains after the sun sets, like the people say, and it goes across the pastures laden with manure and brings that fresh raw manure odor into their homes. Whatever's doing it, the one unanimous large complaint is the inescapable stench that they cannot get away from, that they have to live with every day. And the state went and documented and wrote this all up and went back to Honolulu, and then nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had rains and more floods, and this time it was washed into people's backyards, filling their yards, and going into their homes, their patios, their kitchens. And the dairy there, the Big Island Dairy, has hundreds of acres of corn growing, and people, and that's the only area around there that's growing corn, industrial corn. Actually, they say it's GMO corn. And then after this big flood in September of last year, they found corn sprouting in their backyard. So it's a huge problem for those people. I mean, their quality of life is shot. Mm-hmm. It's what we said to our mayor and our county council here. You do not want to do this to the people of the South Shore. This would be terrible. And here, of course, we have a visitor destination area. You know, a funny thing happened, Carol, when I was contacted by the residents and they said, you know, you might want to come. Well, I didn't want to step on anybody's toes, so I searched out the woman who was organizing the meeting, the community meeting, and have since met her. She's a wonderful person. Her name is Valerie Poindexter, and she's a county council member on the island of Hawaii. And over there, their county council members have districts. And part of her district is the community of Ocala. And her people had, you know, been telling her, this is really bad. And she experienced it herself because she happens to live in Ocala.
Mm-hmm.
So she arranged for the community meeting, and I called her and I said who we were and what we were doing. Oh, she said right away, you don't want that. No, don't let that happen on Kauai. And I said, well, if you don't mind, we'd like to come, and we'd like to film your meeting so we can bring back to our mayor the testimonials, you know, the things people are saying there. Capture the talk as they talk their story, and show our officials, because this is right here in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that will help us. She said, oh, no question. You come, you bring the camera. And she said, you know, I know your mayor, Bernard Cavallo. I said, you do? She said, yes, I know him personally. I'm going to call him up right now and tell him. She said she didn't know it was proposed for Kauai, but she was going to give him the word and earful. And later she called me and told me she had in fact spoken with him and that he was interested in meeting with us now that we're back. So we're arranging that now.
Mm-hmm.
But she said she told him the same thing she told us. Do not let that happen on Kauai.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and so that's
ahead.
How it all came to be.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about, there's several documents that I want to introduce to this, because I've learned over the years, people that are presenting problems to communities, they like to catch you in technicalities and speak loosely and run ahead of you so that, in a whispering way, that they're noncommittal. Well, we're going to quote some of the things said by the dairy management, and I have a CD. I'm going to play excerpts from the meeting, and that's him talking. But the state, so here's the proof. You know, you and others were being tugged with the tug of war with the developer or the person proposing to build the dairy, the company. And then you also challenged by the state's activities and the county, so you really couldn't get straight answers. But what we did find, huh, was in 2014, December 7/1/2014, July, a Hawaii Department of Health Clean Water Branch complaint and inspection. Then on the December 14, 2016, another complaint was responded to. And these are two substantial documents showing that the materials, the manure and all of that, and the wastewater, not all of the wastewater, but a great portion of it, was found running in the streams or in the gulch. And so, again, you have your document, you've shared the one that you had distilled this report, you've taken some excerpts from it where it's, do you have that in front of you? Or
yes, I do.
Yeah. Let's go through that, maybe, because the way you did it was quite easy for some of us to consume. And whereas the stream in question had a steady flow of very turbid brown water that was about 2 feet wide and 0.5 feet deep and smelled like cow manure. That's what the report said. You go ahead and walk us
yes.
through that.
The Department of Health came from Honolulu when people were calling them, they finally came over in June of 2014, and they went back the next day as well on July 1st, and they actually saw, people took them and showed them the stream and the flow that they have, and these are what they call seasonal streams. Ocala, we should share with their listeners, beautiful community. I call it a jewel of the Hamakua coastline. Green, it's you don't have to irrigate your lawn. It rains there quite often. And when it does, seasonal streams flow. If they get a spell with, you know, 5-10 days of no rain, the stream beds can actually get totally dry. And there's also gulches. And this is a configuration that's not unusual for the island topography, because what happens is up in the mountains it rains, and then the gulches flow, the water drains off the property, right? So there's streams and gulches that come away from the dairy site that's in operation. They flow down that mile distance. They go under a highway through culverts, and then they reconstitute on the other side of the highway and flow through the community. And people actually use that stream flow to irrigate gardens. They grow their vegetables. They have opi in the stream that they capture and cook and eat.
And that's shrimp for those that don't know the Hawaii.
Sorry, yeah. And they, this is part of their daily life. Their kids play in it. You know, I remember as a child, it was great fun to go down in the gulch and, you know, let the crawfish crawl up on your leg and, you know, the shrimp. And it was, you know, we would fish for little goaties that would come in from the ocean. And it was, you know, it's a real child's delight to be in there. Mm-hmm. So this was pretty impactful that people were actually viewing brown water with manure in it.
And the people...
And the state confirms it. The state is standing there looking at it saying, yep, it's brown, it looks like manure, and it smells like manure.
So the people reported, they complain about it, the state comes and confirmed that it, and in some instances where he states that when I got up to the highway, there was what looked like a massive sprinkler system spraying brown water over a pasture of area above the highway and below the Big Island Dairy. Now, this is no question that they are impacting the streams. No doubt.
No
question that...
He's watching it happen.
This is a state, two state inspectors.
Yeah.
And then it was said that the following day, 7/1/2014, there was still a slow, steady stream of about 1 foot wide. So, clearly, this manure is coming from this dairy, and the state's witnessing it, and they are there to inspect it and follow up on the complaint. Then he said when we then followed the stream back up the highway and onto the Big Island Dairy, the massive sprinkler system was not in operation. The stream's path went through some thick vegetation toward the dairy. We followed where there was a bridge going over the stream. The stream bed was totally dry. Then another quote, the sewage from the heifer sheds is stored...
Now that's important, Carol. Don't go too fast.
Okay, well...
The stream bed was totally dry means that this was a dry period, not a rain period. So that stream flow down below...
Right.
Which he said had a strong, this is a quote, a strong manure odor.
Right.
Okay, that tells them this is not runoff from the mountain.
Right.
And they're watching this jet, this gun irrigation, they call it, and this plume, this huge plume of brown, which we got to see, right,
mm-hmm.
and you photographed. That's proposed for Kauai. They're proposing to collect effluent in ponds here as well, manure in ponds, that collects on the milking parlor floor and the raceways, and they wash it into this, what they call holding ponds. And these holding ponds are huge. I think the one on the Big Island Dairy holds 2.5 million gallons.
Mm-hmm.
And the one proposed for here is similar. I think ours is supposed to hold 3 million gallons.
Well, I don't want to stray too far away from this document because, see, so often we would say, we would say things and then the rebuttal from the dairy folks proposing the dairy on Kauai would object and say, well, that's not, you know. This is just showing the natural, naked truth of how we should not be so trusting. And those of you on Kauai, you better get ready to fight because this document, these documents that we have is quite telling that even if they were to put in the dairy with all of the promises and all of the permits, it still hinges and relies on the state health department being operating with integrity and concern for the environment and adhering to the rules of the law of the road and protecting the environment. This is a document, or these are documents that will show you clearly. Nobody should be resting right now. And when we see this, it says the next day, quote, Eric Honda and Michael Une, sanitation branch, went back to the dairy. The brown water was still flowing from the vegetated area around the sewage holding tank down the well-defined flow path and continuing to enter the stream. Farm owner Riley Smith and manager Brad Duff were notified. Now, this was in 2014. Right?
Right.
Now, we'll hear some comments Mr. Duff made that he didn't really know much about the flow and how much it was, something to that effect. And just on and on, non-committal. But this document reflects that 2014 now. They know this. Now we're in 2016 and there's another visit. So no record of any DOH reinspection to confirm, this is your comment, to reconfirm the stream contamination has stopped. Next DOH visit followed complaints after massive flooding of ditches, roads, and yards. Go ahead, and if you want to comment on that.
Oh, I just would offer, they basically saw a problem, saw it over a period of days, saw that it continued even after the gun irrigation had been turned off. It was still running off the land and through the community. And they went home. They went back to Oahu. They went back to Hilo. They filed a report, and they didn't go back out to see that it had been corrected or anything had happened. Mm-hmm. And the people there, as you know, Carol, said it didn't get corrected and that it would happen over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they've been having meetings every 6 months since 2014 trying to get officials to take care of their issues, and you're right, there hasn't been a reinspection.
So now, what does all this mean when the DOH goes to the site after responding? Well, first of all, when I see this CAFO, we'll call it, Concentrated Animal Feeding Operation, when you see operating at this large of a scale, now, let's say the judge ruled in your situation that the proposer, the developer of the dairy, needed to have an NPDES permit, correct?
Correct.
So, and the state health department was putting them through the motion and had an application and that was stalling and back and forth, and they had them to resubmit it, allowed them to resubmit that application. But in this case, they went to inspect. They see it flowing. They know the magnitude of it and the impact and the size of this operation, much larger than the one that's proposed, and it had not even gone into, other than constructing it and doing some work, they hadn't had a cow to milk yet. On this operation, it's a fully functioning dairy, and no NPDES permit is talked about. And so can you speak to that?
Well, I think the postmistress there in Ocala, a really good woman, knows a lot of the people in the community, obviously, because of her job. She said of her own community, we were too polite for too long. We were trying to be good neighbors. We were trying to let a business develop, and they kept promising us that there was going to be new technology and the odor would be taken care of, and the runoff would be taken care of. And every time we'd have a meeting, they'd come and tell us, we're fixing this, we're fixing that, it's going to get better. And the community believed them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when Councilwoman Poindexter contacted our mayor, she said one of the first things she said is, Bernard, I bet you they told you it wouldn't stink. She said, well, don't believe them. It's a lie. Nothing they do takes away that stink, and it's foul.
Yeah.
One person said it nauseated them when it comes into their home. It makes them feel like they want to throw up.
But isn't that, it bespeaks of how tricky the state and how lacking the state is and dishonest it is. The discussion is whether you know what stinks. I mean, that is the greatest insult to this community and to anyone, your community and others, to debate if whether manure stinks or not and if you're going to smell it. And then the prevailing winds and knowing that you're taking a machine and spraying that manure into the air.
Yeah, we saw it. We saw the drift.
To disperse it.
Oh, my God,
then,
it was blowing.
And then the houses are down below, downstream, down. And to even debate that, whether it's, you see, this is the absurdity. And this is when you say, it's not corruption. It's stupidity. It's just simply insensitive to anything other than their paychecks and their Aloha shirts and penny loafers.
So the sad thing is...
Sad.
The Department of Health is a regulatory agency. You know, we heard the night at the meeting, Carol, people were talking to the Soil and Water Conservation District people because they had been led to believe that Soil and Water Conservation District was working out a plan to improve some of these problems that they're living with from the dairy. And then when we went to our meeting with them in March, they were learning for the first time, that Soil and Water Conservation District and the Natural Resource Conservation Service Office on Oahu, entities which are designed to help conserve water and soil on farm sites to prevent runoff, to prevent what's happening there, are not regulatory. They told the people, we cannot make the farmer do anything.
Mm-hmm.
If they want our help, we can help them develop a plan. And then the woman who came from, the planner who came from the Soil and Water Conservation District office had to share with the community, they're not even following the conservation plan that was in place. They're trying to develop a new one, but she said they're not following the one that they have.
And they're
people
not.
People in the community said, can we see it? Can we see what they're supposed to be doing? And they were told, no, it's confidential. Soil and Water Conservation District develop help for farmers. And the Congress, because of the lobbying, actually made the reports that are prepared and the plans that are prepared are solely the owner, the sole owner is the farmer. And only disclosure can happen if the farmer allows it. So
right.
They're hearing for the first time, and you were there. You heard the reaction in the room when they learned that this was they were looking to this organization to come up with a plan to make their lives better.
Yeah.
And they were told, we are not regulatory, we cannot force them to take our recommendations.
What we've disclosed is this relationship is this fallacy on many occasions in many situations that the NRSC, they are simply a layer to simply divert any pressure from or queries from the public. It has nothing to do with reality. They sit and they write. They're not funded. They told last night they get grants. We already know that. And what have you, and they're funded by the farmers.
The NRCS is funded, though. That's a federally funded.
No, I understand.
Not regulatory either, but Department of Health is.
Yeah, I understand
that's
that.
That's the hard part of this.
But let's stick to the. We're jumping over. I understand when I say they, the young man and the young lady that was there that said that they received grants and that's how they got their money. And
the Soil and Water Conservation.
Right, that's who I'm speaking of. And we know that it is a ruse, that entire process, because we've dealt with it here. you can go dumping, and then they tell you, well, they're following a management plan. Well, in this case, on the Big Island, they apparently claimed that we would never know because they claimed they were, and we wouldn't be able to see it, but they claimed they had one, but then what happened to it? Now they're making a new one. But even the new one, the public can't see. So, and it's not binding. It's only volunteer. So, in other words, it's a smoke screen. And when
the one thing that did come out at the meeting, though, was the planner at least admitted that she had reported to the Department of Public Works in the county that they were not adhering to their conservation plan that they had in place, even though it wasn't a good one. They weren't even following it.
Right, which meant, in other words, just a circuitous way of saying nothing. And that still yet they it's not binding. They're not obligated to follow it. So what if they're not following it?
Well, they should lose their county permit.
Right. So my point is, so this county and the state, wherever it relates to enforcement, the state should take legal action. The county should pull their grading and grubbing and stockpiling permit, because if they're not willing to voluntarily work with this and abandon that, and then they're still working, but they're operating as a fully operating dairy, having impacts reported onto, you know, these communities, it says a lot. You will get the same treatment. What if?
Well, an even bigger hit. Even bigger hit is the state owns the land they're on.
Yes, ma'am. We were going to get to that. It
okay,
was originally owned. No. It was originally owned by DLNR.
Right.
And then it was transferred to, this is per DLNR now, that it was transferred to ADC, the Agriculture Department. So, again, it's just, I don't know, Bridget, it's crazy. But back to the NPDES permit. Now, when they go out in 2016, and we'll go back to that 2014 report. Hold on. In that 2014 report, you made a mention of the actual document showing that cows laying in the inspection finding due to the following: DOH observed potential for pollutants from the facility's capital operations to discharge offsite into the Ka'ohe'ohe Gulch, a state water of the U.S. But they did confirm that it was in the Gulch, right?
Yes, they did.
but they go away and write in the report it just has the potential. How do you deal with that?
That's tough.
Who do you call and say? I think basically what I take away from this is a complete cover-up, and I was told by someone that worked with the health department that this is the way you were told to write the report. They mentioned what they saw, but then just write it, and who's going to take issue with them, because they are the experts. This is what I was told by a friend of mine that works for the health department.
They did a good job. I mean, the inspection was well done.
Oh.
And they've got all the documentation. They just didn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really sad thing, because unlike soil and water conservation, the Department of Health is regulatory. It has the ability to fine $25,000 a day for this kind of a violation.
And again, during the inspection, I observed potential for pollutants from the facility's manure composting operations to contaminate storm water runoff. So how are they've been able to operate for, 4 years now?
Yes.
And when I check now the report that we're looking at 2016, it says it's NPDES permit. It's not permitted for a site. But they should have no permit. So they should have required one, because they documented. And it's just common sense. If you're uphill, you're going to have some potential, as they've put it. But when you confirm it, then that changes the whole picture.
And they do, by the way, too, the state does identify it as a castle, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
You see in that report from December of 2016, they call it a concentrated animal feeding operation. Mm-hmm. And they call it an NPDES inspection report. So they are acknowledging the very things you're talking about. The state is recognizing it as a CAFO, and they call it a large CAFO, in fact, because it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the EPA has requirements in place that the state is not following.
Mm-hmm. Now,
go ahead.
This report also reports that an access road that runs along the south side of the upper lagoon was inundated with what appears to be lagoon water. Then it goes on, DOH aware upper lagoon is leaking. So the wastewater is leaking from a lagoon, and yet, where does the state think it's going to go?
Well, they saw where it went.
Yeah.
They know where it's going. And they've got people that have corn growing in their backyard that are it's being seeded from what's flowing off the dairy site. I mean, it's not, it doesn't take, you know, Sherlock Holmes to come in and tie these things together.
Now, what we observe in this report here, and I think someone over there, this is my opinion and observation, and I think the state also drew the same conclusion, but they just refused to take any action because, let's face it, I don't want to sit here and sound naive and like I just fell off the turnip truck. You have a state agency. You have a chairperson of that agency, the Agriculture Department, who advocates for the dairy and have been responsible and participated in efforts to enhance their existence. And then in turn, you have a state agency regulating that entity, the Department of Health, right?
Right.
So, and then the state land. Now, there's many questions that you and I discussed, thought about. One, it's state land, so where's the environmental impact statement?
Right.
It's reported that millions were spent out of state monies or bonds or what have you floating to build a lagoon. I haven't confirmed that, but somehow state monies were involved. That's 343 again, triggering an environmental impact statement. Am I correct?
Yes. There's a statute in the state of Hawaii. It's called Hawaii Revised Statute 343, and it specifically calls for environmental assessments or environmental impact statements be done when there's a large wastewater treatment unit, in mm-hmm. other words, a wastewater holding pond, any treatment unit that carries waste in excess of a house of, from 25 homes, okay? So if you have, if you're collecting manure and urine in any kind of a holding thing, and it exceeds what 25 households would produce, which obviously this does, there's a state law that says you're mandated to do an environmental impact before you put that wastewater treatment unit in operation.
Mm-hmm.
And they, the dairy over here, said that they were voluntarily doing it, but we've got a memo from their lawyer that told them what the law was in the state of Hawaii, so
mm-hmm.
it wasn't really quite so voluntary. We know that now, but it was pretty shocking to find out that in Hawaii, on Ocala, nothing was done. And this is on land owned by the Department of Agriculture's Agriculture Development Corporation. In Hawaii, we have a unique circumstance in that when sugar ended, okay, there was a lot of agricultural land that went fallow, and the state scrambled a bit to try to restore agriculture to some of its lands, because hundreds of thousands of acres were suddenly without anything being produced on them. Dramatic impact to the economy. And I sat with my dad many times at the table when he would, you know, struggle with how hard it was to break even in sugar. Once Congress ended the sugar subsidies in the 70s, the sugar subsidies ended. And I have to tell you, Carol, I noted with some degree of wonderment that there's currently going through the Hawaii State Legislature, I don't know if you saw it, a bill, right, to pay, reimburse farmers for 20% of their shipping costs to help them stay afloat and help them compete with the fact that everything grown here, if it's sold anywhere out of Hawaii or even sold between the islands, it requires a barge. It requires shipping. So now the Hawaii legislature is going to allow farmers to get reimbursed for 20% of their shipping costs in order to keep up with the economy. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I bet sugar would still be here if somebody was reimbursing sugar 20% of their shipping costs, because that's what the old subsidy used to do. And wouldn't that be something if they had acted sooner? So you hear these things and you think about this stuff, but as far as getting back to the permit, sorry I didn't mean to get away from that. This is amazing that on a state-owned property, the Agriculture Development Corporation is just leasing this land to Big Island Dairy. They don't own it. They're not the owner of the property. It's state property. So all that manure that you and I witnessed laying all over the ground, smelly, smelly stinkle, big, huge effluent ponds, and they're full to the brim. We took pictures of them. The state took pictures of them. This both state reports, well, for the time they went there, each time they went, they noticed that the lagoons were full. They also noticed the lagoon was overflowing on their second visit. They said there was lagoon water over the road.
Yeah.
And Carol, after they found that in December, they didn't go back. Instead, they sent them a letter in February that said, you might want to put in for an NPDES permit, or if not, you might want to build a third lagoon, because your sewer collection is full. It's not just full, Carol. The people in Ocala have it in their yards. They have it in their streams.
And it's going to the ocean.
And it's dumping into the ocean. That's right. That's
now,
the big thing. This all ends. And fishermen have had to stop fishing along the coast. And if I can share one thing with your listeners.
We don't have a whole lot of minutes left in this section, so
okay. Be
careful. Go ahead.
We saw pictures in the second report of dead cows in an open pit. And the state reports that the manager admits water from that open pit sheets into their lower lagoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that lagoon water is then sprayed with that gun, that jet irrigation, onto the pastures. So those cows are eating grass that is not only fertilized with the manure, the raw manure that's in the effluent pond, it's fertilized with dead cow parts. And that sheeting of water with the dead cow, the decomposing cow stuff, is also going down the gulches.
Mm-hmm.
One woman in the community told me she actually saw a cow part going by one day out into the ocean. This is an unkept, unregulated horror story playing out, and all the people that live in that community
mm-hmm.
are suffering big time.
Now, one of the things, I'm probably not going to be viewed as a friendly and favored guy by most of the bureaucrats after this, but based on what I'm seeing in the documents and how that community is being impacted and the potential for your community to be impacted, the impact is so great that it's worth now pointing out and asking the governor to ask for the resignation of Mr. Scott Enright, because his intimacy with these business folks is one that he can't discern where the center of the road is. He's supposed to look out for the best of all parties, come up with the best solution. Nothing's going to be perfect, but I believe that the way he has behaved, even right down to the receiving documents and the way he's treated document requests from me and others, I believe that he is too intimate with the dairy industry, ag industry, and yes, I know he is the agricultural chairman, but that does not insulate him and divest him of the responsibility to the people of the state. For example, now, real quick, there was a plan petition pursuant to Trade Winds Veneer Mill in Ocala. They wanted to cut wood and do panelings and what have you. And we'll,
right, they were trying to restore right. some jobs for the community.
And Scott Enright, who lives in that community, this is in 2008, Stephen L. Johnson, the administrator of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, Scott Enright petitioned the EPA to deny a permit for that Trade Winds project. And the project, and Mr. Enright was talked about the impacts, the environmental impacts and all of that on this little community, and he called it a hamlet, the community. And yes, and he went on and on and on, but yet when it comes down to this dairy, which has equal or more impacts, we don't know, we haven't compared them, but they both have their own impacts, he supports the dairy. What's the difference there? So we'll be back shortly, and we'll talk about how many residents of this is quotes from Mr. Scott Enright's statement of petition. Many residents of Ocala experience respiratory illnesses, including asthma. Many residents of Ocala are elderly, and considerable portion of the community are ethnic and cultural minorities. Well, that community didn't change. Those people didn't go away. So why did he abandon the concern for the dairy, but yet he fought them, which probably would have enhanced economically that community? It doesn't make sense. So we'll be back shortly. You're going to join me in the next hour?
Yes, if you want.
Oh, yes, ma'am. All righty. We'll be back shortly. Thank you. This is the Carol Cox Show. My guest is Bridget Hammerquist from Kauai.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Having a glitch here, a machine that just does not want to work. We're talking about dairies, and we had hoped that some of the people would be calling in from the Big Island, and haven't heard from them yet, but I have Ms. Hammerquist, Bridget Hammerquist, on the phone, and we were talking about a number of things related to the dairy, and specifically the one at Ocala, the Big Island dairy, and the way the state health department is handling this matter, or has handled it, and hopefully, as we continue on with this, they will change their approach and take some legal actions and immediately require the dairy to apply and obtain a NPDES permit, as well as a wastewater management permit, and all of that. Something needs to change. The potential or the impacts that are present and that are threatening up there is a reality. So let me just read you something, and I'll bring Ms. Hammerquist back on. Receiving waters. This is when you want to pull your hair out if you still have any after reading the document. But receiving waters, this is a 2016 report, investigation and inspection conducted by the State Health Department, who regulates and oversees solid waste and hazardous waste, clean water, clean air. Ka'oha Oha Gulch flows through the area. That's one gulch. The Aloha Gulch originates on property pasture land near the manure composting building and flows through irrigated croplands along Ocala Road. An inspection of the facility by HDOH, Department of Health, conducted during the June-July 2014 was prompted from a public complaint regarding brown manure-smelling water in the Aloha Gulch through Ocala. That inspection, and this is critical, that inspection confirmed the discharge of manure-laden water into the Aloha Gulch from the facility's airstrip heifer sheds. At the time of this inspection, December 2014, 2016, the facility was no longer housing cows in the airstrip heifer sheds. However, stormwater runoff from the facility, manure composting building, and upgrading areas of construction likely flow into the Aloha Gulch. The Kaula Gulch flows along the western perimeter, and the property, due to its location, appeared to be the gulch least likely to be impacted by CAFO. And this is a CAFO, a concentrated animal feeding operation. Good morning again, Bridget. Welcome back.
Hi, Carol. Nice to be back with you.
Well, where did we leave you midair there? But the number of cows, let's just say here, livestock management, I'm quoting from this article or this inspection report. At the time of the inspection, the facility contained approximately 1,800 cows, of which 1,226 are identified as mature milking cows, not including the dry cows. Mature milking cows are housed full-time in two newly constructed 1,000 cow freestall barns. Anyway.
Well, there's something really important here for listeners to understand, and it took us a while to learn this, but one of the reasons for people say, well, why do they get a permit to discharge? Why do they get a National Pollution Elimination Discharge System permit? What is that? An NPDES permit? A permit to pollute? Well, in a way, yes, but no, because one of the things that's required in this NPDES and in the environmental assessment that they should have done by state law, it's a requirement. The state is breaking its own law by allowing this to operate there without the environmental impact study, because those two items have an engineering component. They look at the hydrology. They look at how much rain falls on the land annually. They look at the streams and gulches that run from it. They look at the culverts coming off of it. They study the flow, and they see, is it really likely that the poop will stay on the ground, or is it likely it's going to run off and plague and infect a community? And one thing we haven't talked about yet is, when the people have been suffering this, Carol, they didn't know. They could ask for water quality testing. The state could have done soil samples for bacteria testing. They did nothing. And when they reached out to us, our board, Friends of Mahalapu, said, let us at least maybe help you with some water quality tests. And we had water sampling done two times, taken to a Department of Health approved lab on the Big Island. We weren't part of it. We worked through the microbiologists. They took the samples. They met people in the community who showed them where this stuff runs. Those water quality samples were taken, turned in, off the Richter scale. Above the state point where they stopped counting is what the bacteria came in at. Mm-hmm. Enterococcus, E. coli, Clostridium perfringens, all of those are fecal bacteria, bacteria that comes from manure.
Hold on.
It comes from any kind of poop, but in this case, the only poop in the area on the ground in large quantity is this manure. So when the studies are done, when the permit is applied for, the hope is, this is why the EPA has these requirements in place, that what you do is you study what the land topography is, you study your slope, you study your drainage, you study your water, and you know how many animals you can safely put on the property so you don't impact and contaminate the fresh water and the ocean water. In this case, the state has absolutely confirmed contamination of state water and ocean water, not once, but more than once.
From this dairy operation?
Yes, multiple visits now.
Big
multiple
Island.
Visits in 2014, multiple visits in 2016, and on every visit, pollution was confirmed.
Right.
And
now,
not one thing was done. And I have to say, Carol, if I had Scott Enright in front of me right now, I'd say, so how come? How much of this is because you want to back this dairy? It's in your a place where you think a dairy should be. But all the laws get set aside, and these people are now hurting. And the E. coli that's running through their community, in one place, the bacteria was over 20,000 colony units in just 3 ounces of water.
We have a call, Bridget. We asked
okay.
her. There was a
I'm
call.
Sorry.
No, no. Keep hold that thought. It just let you know. Go ahead. Caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment or question?
I was just thinking, you know, I still have a call right now on about why not dairy. Everything what she said is correct. You know, the manure, before when had the pineapple and sugar cane, they used to buy the manure, and by right, they're supposed to clean the pan. You know, the melting cows will rot in a basket. It stays like on a big hole in the pan. And even the one when they go, you know, make a pregnant of sugar, they stay in a smaller pan on the dairy area. Yeah, that's what you do quite a lot. But the snake, they never get after it. It is really, what you're saying is so correct. When the sugar cane pineapple was getting out of business, and in fact, way before that, they was buying the manure was good, but when they was using chemical fertilizer, the yield was coming up faster. The pineapple and stuff. That's why when they used to get the airplane and spray, that wasn't for bugs. That was fertilizer. That's why they used to burn the more sure things will burn off all the chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
She right. That's why the putting the dairy people didn't know what to do with all the manure. You know, in one day, you know, much cows they make. You know, due to the melting cows, especially, you got to feed them plenty and there's a lot of medicine. You know, they. Especially when you melt the cow, when you take off the suction cup, you whack them with the iodine underneath every one cow. It's plenty leak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they shoot them all out, the thing run down. At one time when you see the milk bottles, the ones that everybody collect with inbox.
Right.
That's what was happening to the island, and the dairy. But was pretty much took care of. But they're not taking care of the state that is there, Kuliana, for trapping things. But maybe there was a long time, and, you know, they get framed and they let them slide. But the dairy person took pick all that manure, pile them up, you know, kind of like dry them, move them around, you know, dry the thing. If the thing stay damp, stagnant, no good.
Right.
Kind of like dry out,
right.
If anything. Yeah, like anything else that can pollute everything. And I'm sorry for the farmer, but the state, they really not doing their job. You know,
mm-hmm.
A lot of things like the roads, you know, all kinds of stuff. But
right.
Anyway,
well,
still in Carolina, you know, they're wondering how come the bacteria inside of the pond, the hotel. Sure, because the dump, you know, they put one mash underneath many years ago. The weight, all the juice, the thing actually punctured through. That's why the water was calm. They don't know how calm they all these bacteria in the pond.
Mm-hmm.
They keep shooting through cracks under the ground going over there.
Okay.
So you got a river run underneath Colina.
Right.
Come out with a big banding tree stand. And the thing actually, you know, well water come out.
Right.
Always running.
Okay.
That's a very long time over there.
Okay.
I tell you, I'm sorry for not letting you speak, but she right. You know, you gotta
thank you, brother. Hey, thanks for calling. Thanks for sharing.
Aloha, mahalo. That's great because he worked on a dairy, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what we're talking about.
Yeah. And back to one point there, and you were, I'm going to digress a bit, because there is, I can't believe that we are able to read a report and then see that that community is still being impacted years later after they've confirmed problems. The BID, the report goes, the BID, the Big Island Dairy representative stated that mortalities are buried on site. The mortality burial pit that was in use at the time of the inspection was located in an existing gulch located between the covered manure separation cells access roadway and newly constructed 2.5 million gallon lower wastewater lagoon. Mr. Duff stated that any storm runoff that comes into contact with the open mortality burial pit would sheet flow into the lower lagoon. But then where are they sucking the water from with the spray gun?
That lower lagoon. that's what I said earlier. That was, to me, I mean, it was all really revolting. But to think that dead, decaying cow carcasses is going into that water that's growing the grass that the cows eat, and then it's also running into people's yards. I mean, the state tested the water quality for three bacteria, okay? E. coli, Enterococcus, and Clostridium perfringens. But if you get a microbiologist in there and you say, tell me what's in this water, my money is that you've got a lot more in that water than those three bad bacteria. And E. coli, right now they know in medicine, we met with the new director of Department of Health here on island, on Kauai, and she said the E. coli is becoming so resistant, it's really dangerous from cows because they give cows antibiotics as part of their daily regimen. Occasionally they get it for mastitis, they get infections where they milk them from, and they have to treat them for a while. So their gut bacteria gets more powerful. They call it super bacteria.
Let me ask you this. If a carcass laying there, we know that you have, if a cow had contaminated with E. coli, you ate it, you'd have to, can you cook it and kill the E. coli?
Well,
when you destroy it, get rid of it. And the second question is, if a carcass is laying there in the open area, can it harbor or serve as a reservoir for E. coli in the
absolutely, absolutely. It's a perfect petri dish. Oh, my God.
It's got
all the moisture. It's got the protein. It's got everything that bacteria needs to replicate.
And this tropical...
But more importantly, things like leptospirosis is in cows. As they're decaying. That's what's known to happen.
Well, but so
they have an open pit with these dead bodies laying in it, and every time it rains, he says it sheets off and flows into the lower lagoon. Well, you saw that lower lagoon. It was plumb full to the brim, and we talked about it the night of the meeting, and then what did we see the next day, Carol? They had that jet gun out, and they were spraying that stuff in the air so thick, so full, and it was brown. You could tell it was full of manure, and it's all over the ground, and we could see it pooling, puddling on the ground. Where is that going to go when this thing is uphill from that community? It's going to run off, and here's the biggest thing that came out in the meeting. This was the eye-opener for me that applied to Kauai as well. It came out in the meeting that they restored the sugar cane culverts, right? You heard them talk about that. You heard the manager talk about restoring the sugar cane culverts and the drainage system that was on that land for sugar. Okay, then this engineer stands up, civil engineer, and he said, that's where the problem is. The sugar had these drainage systems and culverts to carry excess rainfall off the property so the cane didn't rot. But you can't use those if you're running a dairy in there and you've got manure all over the ground, because you're going to send manure water off to through the community and out to the ocean.
You have another call.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No. It's, if you hear that ringer, you'll know. I'd hate to solicit them to call in and then we don't entertain that call.
Yeah, so please call back.
But
they're proposing to do the same thing on Kauai. They proudly told the people of Kauai that they had restored the extensive, they called it over here, Hawaii Dairy Farms, extensive ditch network
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
My friend, old man, he worked for a pineapple company. They would use so much chemicals on that area and at the ground plant. Because of this.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, yes. I have a comment about our community on the Big Island in Ocala.
Okay, go ahead. And you are?
April.
Oh, April. Thank you for calling.
You're very welcome.
Go ahead with your comments. Share with us.
Yes, a few months ago, in one of our streams running through the community, there was a lot of polluted, stinky, brown, green, foamy water coming through our community, and we're finding out where that source is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a dairy farm above of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping to find solutions for safe water for our community. As far as uncontrollable pollutants that's coming up from above.
Now, we met with you, and you were telling us there were, you knew of some people sickened with E. coli. Is that true?
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm.
It was my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
He was sent to the ER,
mm-hmm.
and I talked to my sister the other night to find out what kind of illness he had, and she said doctor found E. coli in his system, and he had an 80% survival status.
Mm-hmm.
But he pulled through. They did a wonderful job taking care of him up in Waimea Medical Center. And also, my auntie also got really, really sick. And her bacteria that they found when she was sent to the ER, they ended up finding C. diff in her fecal sample.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, correct.
And again, what was it that they found?
C. diff. It's a bacteria.
Okay. And did your auntie or your brother-in-law, did they go down into the stream, or is it some other source of contamination?
My auntie stays home most of the time,
mm-hmm.
out at Ocala. And my brother-in-law lives directly below the dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And those, they were probably pretty sick, April.
Beg your pardon?
I said they were probably pretty sick, huh?
They were very, very ill. My brother-in-law, I want to say, stayed in the hospital, I want to say maybe almost a week, as far as my auntie, about that time. But my auntie ended up at the hospital, I want to say, twice.
Mm-hmm.
So she finally got through her antibiotics, so they want to test it if she still has the C. diff in her system.
Mm-hmm. And there are there other people? And if you can confirm, I understand that there were, in the gulch, there were carcasses that have washed down. Have you witnessed that, or have you heard anything, or can you confirm that?
Just heard.
Yeah. So if you could, in the coming days, if you could ask around and find out who it is that witnessed that, maybe they have pictures or something.
Sure.
Anything else?
April, can you share with the listeners about how people use the gulches to grow things?
So we use the gulches in the ocean and where the cliffs, where these waterways are coming down from. our family uses all these gophers to gather things, you know, and fish out in the ocean. And so, as fishing out in the ocean in that area, we don't do that anymore because of all that gross-looking stuff that's coming down. And we know by common sense, you know, something's not right there. You know, so we stay away now and gathering from other places that hopefully is not contaminated with the drift that's going through the ocean.
Can you describe the smell, or are you experiencing smell, and when do you experience it most?
Yes, horrific smell from the dairy. During the night, throughout early morning, sometimes during the day and so forth, but at night, you know, the neighbors, they close their windows, but yet they still smell that high urine smell,
mm-hmm.
and ammonia smell. It burns your nose at night. I mean, it literally wakes you up.
So people wake up with burning noses. I know the postmistress told us she had headaches.
Yes. For myself, yes. You wake up with, like, for myself, I woke up with burning nose, and then I felt really, really sick the next day. And I went to the ER, to urgent care, and they said they could check if it was strep and all that stuff. It wasn't, but it seemed to be like a respiratory infection that I had.
Okay. Well, April, can you hold on for a moment? There's a board is lit up. Let me see if we can entertain another call. Can you hold?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thanks for calling, April.
You're very welcome.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Everything I tell you is telling you.
Okay.
All
right, thank you, brother.
The same thing that comes down the corner, that couple is Hawaiian.
Okay.
They plant fruit trees, but eventually they had to kind of like that. But
all right. Well,
they're not sure about that. A lot of chemicals used because, like I said, a lot of the townhouses are going to all that area, all of this.
Okay, well, we're talking. Thank you.
Probably contaminated by.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yes, I'd like to ask, if Bald can travel from the Big Island to here, I would suspect that those particles or gas fumes or whatever you want to call them travels here too, to Hawaii, to Honolulu. Even if the smell can't be smelled, because dust, it operates on 2,000 particles per square inch, but that's the heavy stuff. Once that is gone, you need light to see the remaining particles that are so fine that you can't see them unless you see them on a certain angle of light.
Mm-hmm.
I'm suspecting that stuff you guys are talking about is coming over here too, but by the time it gets here, you can't smell it. Just ask the doctor or lawyer.
Okay.
That's possible.
Fortunately, we have one in the same. Thank you, Bridget. What do you?
Well, I just would tell him real quickly. Aerosolized manure does carry bacteria, and I can't say how far the bacteria gets. I don't think it would get all the way there. But it's possible, and bacteria can stay alive for a long time, especially with warmth and moisture. And, of course, we have a nice tropical climate with a lot of moisture. But I will tell the listeners that a big study was done on 10 dairies in Texas last year. And scientists confirmed that the air coming off the dairy was even found to have MRSA in it, methicillin-resistant staph. And staph comes from cows. It's another thing, especially from those dead carcasses. So could the caller be right that the bacteria can make it to other islands? Islands close to Hawaii, maybe yes. But especially for the people of the island, this is not something that's going to be limited just to Ocala.
Well, I'm nervous, Bridget, learning all of this, and I'll tell you, looking at these are reports from the state health department, the regulatory body, who say yes or no. And they are playing loose with these things and facts.
They didn't test the water, and they didn't test the soil.
Right.
But now that we did, the state came out and repeated our tests, April.
Right, but
they found the same bacteria.
Did they?
Back to the bacteria. My son, a couple years ago, he had a bad skin infection. He had to go to the ER, and they cleaned it out and stuffed gauze in to have it drained. And just recently, my boyfriend, he got a little nick on his leg and ended up at the ER because he had a bad skin infection.
Mm.
You know, so they also had to put some gauze in there, get him on antibiotics and so forth. And we live directly below Ocala. I'm not sure how many other people, well, I'm thinking right now, my nephew got a bad skin infection also. On his face. I don't know the whole story behind that one, but I can't imagine how many other members of our community are getting ill, you know, by these little, they might think it's little things that's happening, but if we, hopefully we can do like a survey of,
right.
You know.
And actually, April, what you're describing, April, where they put in a drain and stuff in gauze, that's already at the point where it's an abscess. Those are more than just simple infections. So that's serious stuff. So they probably have some of this bad bacteria that's actually...
And, you know, from where the dairy is, 7 miles both ways, you know, there are public schools there.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, one thought. Hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or questions.
Hi, Carol. This is Charlene Ishida. I'm one of the owners of a home in Ocala.
Hi. Good morning, Charlene.
Hi. Thank you so much for doing this. I just wanted to let you know that I spoke with Matt with the Department of Health and requested that now that we know and all these different agencies are involved and are realizing that this problem is the magnitude that it is, can you start doing water sampling on a regular basis so that we can have regular quality measurements of what's going on in the ravine. And he said that they were having meetings talking about that, and the only challenge is he said that there has to be measurements that are done on a regular basis, and it's all subject to budget approval, and the higher department heads were the ones that were going to have to get that approval, and you know that's what has remained to be seen of them giving that approval. So,
and I noticed on, I looked online this morning, Charlene, and I saw the last readings that they had. It was back in 2015. And then they just recently did a test, and they tested for two bacteria just recently in March.
That was the day of our meeting.
Yeah, that was the day. Yeah. That's right. That was the Enterococcus and the Clostridium perfringens, right?
Yes, so. Correct. That's the one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're both above state limits. Yeah.
Hold that thought. You got another call. Hold on. Charlene, hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments, please.
My last head, I'm a call. I don't mean to interrupt you.
You are interrupting, brother.
He's redfishing. He's very serious. My friend, he went... Even you know what, it's kitchen crab. He's so healthy. Y'all know him. And a couple of days, he walked right into the wall. And he died maybe 2 weeks later. But some bring in the water. And you know what the doctor said when they are talking? He was, Australian cow on the big hump on the shoulders, the gray. Sometimes they stay up on a mountain by half a kilo. You know, something like big Australian type bull.
Right.
They go down by
okay.
Manakuri,
I'm sorry to cut you short, brother.
Brother.
Okay, go ahead, guys.
Carol, this is Charlene again. So,
yes.
You know, my question is in moving forward as a way to actually document and regulate what's going on, the pressure, it seems like it needs to come from a higher level than just us community residents. And it seems that within the agencies, the pressure needs to be put on them to be able to do their job and to call them out when they're not. And they clearly didn't follow up on the 2014 report when I asked them, well, how come you didn't, you know, what was the outcome? You clearly saw that there were violations, and they said, well, we didn't do anything. And I asked them, well, can you follow up and give them a violation now?
Well, and most important, Charlene, is if they make them do the studies that they're supposed to do, if they make them assess the hydrology, make them get engineering studies, then they're going to learn that they've got too many cows there and that the owner maybe wants to make a big profit, but they're making their profit at the expense of the community's health. And
exactly.
People are getting serious infections, and one man came close to dying from E. coli. He could have died from that.
Well, my recommendation is consistent with your thinking. Go to higher up. And there's a gentleman named David Ige. He's our governor. And David Ige appointed Scott Enright. That does not divest David Ige of the responsibility for clean health, clean environment, and clean air and clean water. So I think that, and there's a talk about forming committees and form. I don't believe anyone involved in this process is being honest to the fullest extent because of what's going on. You cannot have complaints from people for several years, and then there's supposed to be plans made and all, and then they abandon those and then hire other people and then tell you the people you've been talking to really don't have any authority or any power. So I think it's time, I would recommend that you take it squarely and set it on the governor's step and talk to your state legislators. And I have to say this, and I hadn't seen it in a long time. Valerie Poindexter is what the doctor ordered.
Yes, she's great.
Honestly, I mean, when I was talking with her, never once did she say, I can't do this, get involved with the community because of my position. She, I believe, is one of your best answers, and I would ask you, suggest to all of you, rally behind her and go past the Pilikia and this low-level bull that we're experiencing and go straight ask for a meeting with the governor like Bridget Hammerquist and the other folks did. And I think if you show combined forces, and I'm talking this openly, I think you, Bridget, and Charlotte and Val should be off to see the governor.
Governor Ige was very responsive to us, guys. He really was. And, you know, he's an engineer. He understands what we're talking about with this runoff and the waste load and the number of animals. He gets it.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's in favor of this. He wasn't in office, you know, when the Ocala expansion of the Big Island area was approved.
Well, that's okay, but he's in office now and it's still going on.
And he'll probably take care of it.
But,
you know, obviously, if the state didn't test and Department of Ag didn't make them get their permits and Department of Ag didn't make them do the environmental assessment and just allowed them to expand so big like they are now, okay, then you know your Department of Ag isn't helping. And they probably, the governor probably doesn't even know that this is all going on.
Well, I would just stay away from that, whether he knew or not. Let's take him a bag of cookies and see how he eats them and what he does for you. That's what I would say. And
does Barry have a bond from state?
I don't know. I've heard the discussion that there is, but the state
has... There was a $10 million bond,
right.
And it passed, and it is supposed to assist with the development of some type of infrastructure, and we're trying to find out now, April, what that is all about. The details,
right.
We don't have all of it yet.
But I would say that if you want a solution, from what I observe, there's so much loose ends and you're chasing the rabbit down this hole, down that hole, and that's what they like. And I believe that your success lies with taking it straight to the top and working back down and having the governor delegate and say to Scott Enright before he fires him or whatever, you need to fix this. Health of the people is just as important to me as it is our economy. So we're not putting dollars before people. And that's what I see is happening in this case.
Do you know offhand if we know that they didn't have the EPA study done but or the environmental impact statement done, but can there be one that's done now? Can we make a request?
You're lucky. You're lucky. You got Bridget Hammerquist who can lead you. Go ahead, Bridget. I'm
letting you. Yes, you can do one at any time. And the thing that should happen is get an independent company in that's not, you know, somebody that the Big Island Dairy just fingers to get the right information. But I will tell you, even over here where we had a problem with the Hawaii Dairy Farms hired their same, they had a consultant that developed their farm plan, and then when they realized they had to do the environmental study, Charlene, they hired the same consultant to do the environmental impact study, and we said, how likely is that going to be real? Because what, they're going to come in and now say the place is unsafe for what they developed, for the plan they developed? They're not going to do that. They're going to rubber stamp their plan. But, you know, in reality, they did come and they hired a number of contractors, and some of the contractors have given us information that actually helps us and does establish what I started to talk about earlier. The infrastructure that they opened up over here, the sugar infrastructure over here that they plan to use, just like what they're using on the Big Island, it's what's hurting you. They're draining. They're using those drains and culverts. Remember you heard him talk, Brad, talk about how they restored those and fixed them? They're using those to allow the caca water to leave the property.
Right. And you know, the plantation never did that. I mean, now the dairy is like an open sewer, you know, practically, you know. That's all the fumes are up and it's coming through the community.
It is an open sewer. That's what an effluent pound is. It's 2.5 million pounds, 2.5 million gallons of open sewer.
Wow.
And what I observed there, Charlene and Bridget was with me, April, was that this material was being sprayed on a barren land. Didn't see any, and it clearly, from the natural flow of the land, these reports and these pictures that they showed, that the state documented, that they knew if they were to dig a trench like that, it would probably be too obvious. But if they allowed this to spray and it find its way into the channel or into the gulch, well, it's not our fault. That's just a natural flow of gravity, and that's what happens. It flows in the stream. But that should not be happening, right, Bridget?
No. And that's what the EPA regulates against. And they know they're upslope from the ocean. They know the topography. They know they're draining down into the ocean. Everything that flows from that property. So as the civil engineer in your community said, he said, you know, if they have a confined animal feed operation with manure all over the ground, they can't let it off the site. They have to do something else. They have to catch it. They have to haul it away. But they're not even trying to do that.
The irony is that if they spray during the daytime when it's sunny, which is what they're supposed to do, and then our trade winds shift, and then we get our afternoon rains, so that they're spraying in the morning, and then we get our afternoon rains, well, guess what goes into the river, and guess what just yesterday was coming down? It just sprayed, and it's flowing already.
Is that right? The stream is flowing?
Yeah.
With that brown manure? Well, call the health...
Every time you guys see it, Charlene, every time you see it, you call Matt Carano. You just get so many calls on his desk, and I agree with Carol. I think Valerie, I will tell you, Valerie's on it. She's already called the state attorney general, but work with her because I agree, Governor Ige will probably give you time. You guys have suffered, and April, tell the neighbors... Everybody should start documenting all the health problems. Make a list, y'all. Everybody in the family, anybody that lives there, the 7 miles to the school, all those kids, you know, how many have had empatigo, that face infection, yeah? From the biting flies, that's empatigo. You know, try to document how many have illnesses there been so you can take him a bunch of information so they'll realize how much you guys have suffered in the last 3 years, you know.
Well, anything else, guys, before you go? And I again, I would like to recommend that you try soon to get with the governor. And I think this warrants an immediate attention. I don't believe that it that there should be installed. But what my lesson learned in observing the manager of this facility and the willingness of Riley Smith to come to that meeting and observe Brad Duff to be asked questions by the community, and Brad's answers were, I don't really know, but I'm trying to find out. Well, then somebody amongst them, too, and especially is, if it's true that Riley Smith owns it, then he should have taken front center stage and availed himself to answer some of the questions, but he didn't. He stood in the background.
Yeah, Carol, the listeners should know, we didn't have the Department of Health reports yet, when we went to that meeting, April. We got them afterwards because of what we heard. We went to see what the department knew. Then we found these reports with all this information. Mm-hmm. And Riley Smith is listed as an owner. And I didn't know who he was until Val pointed out this man in the back of the room. She thought he had something to do with the dairy. Well, heck, he's the owner. He's one of the two owners. It's Whiteside and Riley Smith. So, Carol's exactly right. He didn't come forward. He didn't have anything to say. And Brad stood up there saying to you guys that night, right? Didn't he tell you? I don't know how that cock is getting into your community. I don't know how that manure got on your backyard. He stood there and told us that, didn't he?
Right, and he was asked about...
And then there's this report that he went around with the inspectors.
Right, and he did, rather coy. She said something to the effect, not those points you've named as being sources introducing into the stream or to the gulch. It's not those points. But he didn't say these are the ones that we've documented.
He didn't even tell us he'd been on inspection trips with the state, and they'd seen the manure running off the property, and they saw it running through the streams, and the state took pictures of it, and the state presented them with the pictures, and the state informed them of that it was running off the property, and they stood in front of you saying, we have no idea how it's getting off our property. We don't think it's leaving our property. He stood there and told us that. And now we find these reports that say he was with the inspectors while they watched it flow from their site.
Well, at that meeting, we requested the Department of Health to ask. We had those documents. I had those documents, and we requested the Department of Health to present that information at the meeting. Unfortunately, instead, what they presented was a pre-written script that did not answer any questions in detail. And that was the one request that we asked of them, was that I had those documents. They knew I had those documents. And we asked that at that meeting, please bring the community up to date of what your investigations have found.
Oh, see, I didn't know you had them, Charlene. We went and got them ourselves after the meeting.
Well, I gave them. I gave them out. And even the meetings that we had before the pre-meeting, I had them there.
The inspection reports?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, whatever happened
that
to that?
Yeah. And he certainly didn't own up to it, did he, Charlene?
No, he didn't. And that was really disappointing.
So that gives credence to my recommendation. I wouldn't engage in a conversation at that level any longer. You're not going to get anything. It's just what I saw them, how they were dismissing many of your comments and not committing and being evasive, in my opinion.
But you can also go to the Department of Health's new director, Dr. Pressler, and take especially the list of illnesses, April. She is going to care if people in the state are getting E. coli. And it's,
are you able to get me her number? And
yes, I'll send it to you. Yes.
Yeah. Now, one thing before we close. Are you aware of the 100 gallons of approximately more of diesel fuel that spilled up there at the site?
No, I haven't heard any about that diesel spill. Only from a friend of mine, she had a farm up there, apparently, and there was oil spilled in their area. And the state shut them down because they had to clean every single rock in that plot that they had. I'm not sure directly where it was.
Can you ask her to, can you give her my contact number? I'd be interested because they, at the dairy, there was a 100-gallon spill on 325-2015. And,
And the listeners should know, Carol, that the dairy didn't. It was from an anonymous tip that
right.
The state found out. The dairy didn't fess up and report it. It was an anonymous caller that gave the state the information, and they came out and confirmed that the spill had happened. It was still on the ground. The dairy hadn't done anything to clean it, right, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the report says. And the inspector took pictures, and then he didn't shut them down. He
right.
accepted letting them dig the earth up and put it on a tarp.
So what happened, here's what, caller notified here, the hazard is emergency environmental response, staff to a diesel release at Big Island Dairy. Caller received original complaint anonymously and referred to here to follow up. The complaint alleged poor operation of a diesel AST above ground storage tank caused diesel contamination on the ground. Here staff called Mr. Brad Duff in Big Island Dairy. He stated a hose broke and caused diesel to leak out on the ground. He estimated 100 gallons was spilled. Spilled diesel saturated the soils around the AST. The hose broke sometimes in the morning, 25th, and the contaminated soils have been excavated. Brad Duff emailed pictures showing contaminated soils and plastic bed lining. So you see how nice and courteous they are to the dairy? Everything is almost just operating by phone, fax, and email. And when they do go over there, they see it's a violation, and then they say it has the, they write it off as being the potential. So I would say I would abandon the thought of dealing directly with them without incorporating the governor's office or the governor himself, Virginia Pressler, because this is a real issue.
Yes, it is. And thank you for all your folks' support.
All righty. Well, anything else before we close there? I hear that somebody's ready to go, anxious.
Thank you again for joining forces across the island. That's really incredibly important for all of us, and we appreciate your dedicating this time to highlighting and letting the greater community know about the magnitude of the problem.
All right, and this is at the Ho'okala. It's on the Hamakua coast. Mile marker 30 is a reference point, and we're talking about the Big Island Dairy and its impacts that of concerns that the people are complaining about. And Bridget, anything real quick before we go?
No, I just thank the people for inviting us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our what we've been warning of, Charlene, you guys have put a face to it. You've made it real, you know. Everything we've suggested would be happening to our community. Unfortunately, it's happening to yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm truly sorry for you. We'll do everything we can to help you.
And for some of you that wanted to know, if you're interested, go to carolcox.com and later, and or Maha Ulepu. Bridget, give that direction.
Yeah, it's friends of Maha Ulepu. It's all one word, and it's MAHAULEPU, friends of mahaulepu.org. And we have photos over there that on our site that show a brown plume that goes from the proposed dairy site here down to all of our beaches, our beautiful beaches, just from recent rain. And we documented that because we don't want the manure to track the same way that the dirt does when it rains. So we did that to show, again, what will happen. In our case, the proposed large industrial dairy is supposed to be 6/10 of a mile upslope from the ocean. The people of Ocala are suffering with a large industrial dairy that's a mile and a half upslope from the ocean, and the stench is so bad at the ocean, the fishermen have stopped using that coastline to fish, and it was sustenance fishing. So they have a real problem. They've realized what we've predicted would happen here. So
you were going to post quite a bit on your website about this.
Yes, we will. We'll put a lot of the. We'll put a link on our website. It'll go on today.
Mm-hmm.
That actually, I don't know, Charlene, how you guys experienced the link. Hopefully, you were able to access it, where we put in all the Ocala pictures and documents and the state reports. They're all in that link. So we'll load that link to our website so people can go and read for themselves. The state has gone there. They've documented huge problems, and nothing has changed. Nothing's been done.
Right.
And the regulators are looking the other way, and it's really shameful because it's a state-owned property.
Well, guys, whatever I can continue to help you with on this, it is dear to me because it is a serious environmental problem. It's a social problem. It's a problem, a human problem, with the bacteria, the E. coli, all of that, and the diseases that are associated with it. So I'll be here to help you, and please don't hesitate to call me at 782-6627. But your point person should be Bridget, because she's smarter than I am and wiser. Okay.
Well, thank you guys for calling us. Thank you for reaching out, yeah?
Thank you.
Thank you so much, too, for your sponsor. Mahalo, mahalo, mahalo.
Mahalo. And April,
welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Charlene.
Bridget, anything before we go?
No, a huge mahalo to Val Poindexter, to the county councilwoman there, because she's going to do all that she can to help these people, I can tell.
All righty. Well, thank you, and say hello to everybody, and then we'll be communicating. And I was going to play Brad Don, but I'll have you a copy of that. I email you, and maybe you can post it on the website.
Thank you. Yeah, the audio, Carol, I will.
Yes.
Up in the meeting? Yeah,
right.
I'll post it. Yeah.
That way we don't want to be accused of saying things or putting words and misrepresenting. I will let the himself speak for himself.
Okay.
Thank you so much, guys. Aloha.
This has been the Carol Cox Show.